Blog Talk Radio.
This isn't the Matrix.
No. It's another training program designed to teach you one thing. If you are not one of us, you are one of them.
What are they?
Sentient programs. They can move in and out of any software still hardwired to their system. That means that anyone we haven't unplugged is potentially an agent. Inside the Matrix, they are everyone, and they are no one.
We have survived by hiding from them, by running from them. But they are the gatekeepers. They are guarding all the doors, they are holding all the keys, which means that sooner or later, someone is going to have to fight them.
Someone.
I won't lie to you, Neo. Every single man or woman who has stood their ground, everyone who has fought an agent has died. But where they have failed, you will succeed.
Why?
I've seen an agent punch through a concrete wall. Men have emptied entire clips at them and hit nothing but air. Yet their strength and their speed are still based in a world that is built on rules. Because of that, they will never be as strong or as fast as you can be.
What are you trying to tell me? That I can dodge bullets?
No, Neo. I'm trying to tell you that when you're ready, you won't have to.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane.
No. It's Max, Darrow, and D-Bert, your host for the Comic Shop Show.
July 29th, 2012, folks. Double duty time, once again, double duty time. Welcome to the Comic Shop at 6 p.m., of course, and Afro Radio at 7 p.m. We're going to have a stupendous, informative show for you all. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. I'm not going to get into any muzak right now. We're just going to get into the talk, the discourse. I could not do it unless I have my crew members. First up, the captain, you're needed on the bridge.
Behold, I have arrived.
And then, of course, there is the grandiose, indefatigable, and unflappable Darrow B.
That back computer always been there? Damn.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen, listen, we have a lot to talk about for the hour, so let's just get into it. We'll get into the Muzak somewhere down the line in the midway point. Again, folks, Afro Radio, a.k.a. The Comic Shop, 6 p.m. All right, let's just get into it. Darrow, you really, behind the scenes, are really getting into this deal. Just to give a quick backdrop to our audience, there is an article from Newsarama.com, an excellent comic book fantasy sci-fi website, Newsarama.com, and they're talking about the new Batman cartoon. Because of the tragedy that occurred last week in Aurora, Colorado, now everyone in entertainment appears to be scrambling to make changes to offset this, I don't know, this new wave of violence. There seem to be people coming out of the woodworks with homages to James Holmes, the perpetrator, the alleged perpetrator. So, with this Batman cartoon coming up called Beware the Batman, they're already talking about changing the weaponry that's being shown in this cartoon, so to make the weaponry less realistic. So, Daryl, what were you talking? You had a whole thing about Hollywood making these changes all of a sudden. Share it with us.
Yeah, there's a saying in Trinidad, don't piss on me and call it rain, all right? Don't hit me and point to somebody else. Be a man, be a woman, and take the blame for yourself, okay? When we first saw the Beware the Batman poster, I said, this is a freaking joke. There's the one. They're like, why? Why? All right? Because on the poster, what do they show you? They show you Batman in that new doofy costume. They show you Katana running next to him. And then they show Alfred holding a rifle behind Batman. Excuse me. That's Batman. What is the cardinal rule for Batman the last 25, 30 years? Batman does not use guns. All right? That's the main thing. For the main guy for gun control that has been in the comic / sci-fi view is Batman. Why? Because his family was killed by a gun. His mom and dad, you know, got shot in front of him that inspired all of that. Okay? So it started on a faulty premise there by having his number one confidant holding a big-ass honking rifle on the poster. All right? So now you come on and you have this incident in Aurora. And I'm not making light of the incident, but this shows you how Hollywood are hypocrites. Hollywood, comic books, all are hypocrites. So you have this shooting happen. Oh, okay. Now we can't release Batman Incorporated 3 because it looks too close to this thing. And you know what? We gotta pull the Beware the Batman back because we have realistic guns in it. We gotta make them look fake. Okay, so you're gonna have G.I. Joe Transformers lasers? You remember how that went over with the Spider-Man series in the 90s? But here's the kicker. All right, here's the kicker, and this is what the thing I'm going to hit to you all right now. Behind the scenes, I told the guys about the Daily News on either Wednesday or Thursday, which had The Rock holding up a huge gun right on the cover and said, oh, Hollywood needs to stem the violence. Hollywood's been looking to make changes. And so here's Rock, Samoan / Black, holding a big gun on the cover. What does that have to do with what happened in Aurora? Absolutely, positively nothing. All right? But that's the image you get from how the headline is. It's a black man holding a rifle. Mind you, was it a black man in Aurora that did all of this? Okay? But then you go in 3 or 4 pages into the Daily News and stuff, and you hear about how they're praising the Godfather series for being one of the best trilogies of all time. Okay? And then, past that, you have another article praising Quentin Tarantino. Excuse me. If we are so outraged against this violence and stuff like that, then how are you going to walk the other way and praise the Godfather series for its object violence, all right, and praising Tarantino, and we all know Tarantino films. Listen, Hollywood, you can't do this anymore. You can't. You can't. You did it for Columbine. You overreacted. 9/11, you did it for that. So here's this shooting, and you're making it an epidemic. No, this was one nut. But by doing all of this across the board, I'm looking at you, DC. I'm looking at you, Hollywood. I'm looking at you, movie makers. And you start, oh, we got to do this. We got to do that. Oh, my God. It's a travesty. No, it's not. The travesty is by doing all of these corrections, you're going to encourage more nuts to go like, you know what? I got to change the system. Let me do something violent, and everything will change to suit me. I'll go to jail, but I'll be a martyr. And that's the image you're giving everybody. Afro-nerd, all yours, man.
All right. Listen, you know what? I'm going to pass it to Captain because I got a couple of things. I don't know how to really approach this. in some way. I agree with a lot of what Dallas just talked about, but then there's other things that have come to my attention that have put me in a way, put me in a kind of quandary. I have to admit I'm in a quagmire with how to really attack this issue, and I'll get into it. I'll get into my own personal problems with trying to really give you a succinct view on this. I'll just tell you. I'll tell you what I think, but I want to give. I want to defer to the captain, and then we'll come back to me. Captain, go ahead.
Well, first, what we have to understand is that in this modern day era, we live in a reactive society, a reactive and not proactive society. Pertaining to the Batman poster, what these particular individuals doing, they're reacting to a situation because it's not being sincere. It's not because they're concerned with lives or anything like that. They're looking at their bottom line, and then they do not want blame at all if anything somewhere along the line happens, which blame may affect their bottom line. Now, that being said, to expound upon the great Darryl's opinion, okay, pertaining to the situation, I argue that the whole of society has an issue from music, from movies, from video games. We've been going through it a generation. They say a generation is 20 to 30 years. Let's split the difference. Let's say 25 years. Look at the video games. Everything is pop, pop, pop. I love shoot 'em up games. I love those. So you're conditioned from a mindset from all of us around. So you have to change. If you're looking to do that, big companies, you have to change everything. Everything. I do agree with Darryl saying that this is an isolated incident. But the big companies, if you're looking, you have to change everything. It's not just Hollywood. You have to change video games. You have to change comics. You have to change society. And it's not going to happen right away. It would take about 25 years because it's like stepping into a matrix. Well, as I said to Desmond, Sir Afro Nerd, behind the scenes, it's like living in the hood if you live in the hood, okay? You might not realize how bad the hood is because you grew up in it. But to an outsider, you look at it, you lose your mind. You go, oh, my God, look what's happening. You know? So it's going to take time for it to change if you want to do a change. And taking words from the great Scarface, the great rapper, Southern rapper that was part of the Ghetto Boys, if you don't know, you need to check out a few of his tapes, Mind's Playing Tricks on Me and so forth, etc. When he used to rap at that given time in the early 90s, when we had Yo MTV Raps, go back into the YouTube archives and look at that. Good history lessons for you younger folk. So he would get a lot of flack for his raps pertaining to guns. And he would say, okay, that's fine, but you don't talk about you don't talk about all the movies. You don't talk about Sylvester Stallone. You don't talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger. You don't talk about Dirty Harry movies. You don't talk about none of that. That's been going through society. Now you get one person going here on a rap record or a few other people. Now I'm the problem. I'm not the problem. Everybody's the problem. So that's all I have to say. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
All right. As I said before, I had problems with really trying to come up with a succinct, cogent view on this because I'm going back and forth. I'm getting more information. Our dear friend who's part of our Inner Sanctum captain, who's part of our cipher, Sally V, shouting out Sally V, when we attended the gym this morning, this afternoon, earlier, she was in a really, really just out of it, and then she was able to get me to become out of it because she showed me a litany, ladies and gentlemen, a litany of Facebook pages, Facebook sites, with people who are openly worshipping James Holmes, if that's the best word I can say or the best way I can describe this. You have folks, and hear me closely. I'm probably going to revisit this a bit more closely in the Afro Nerd Hour. But you have folks who have websites, who have Facebook pages that are, if they're not making fun of the tragedy in Aurora, they're almost creating shrines for this culprit, for this person who did this horrendous thing. I saw a website, or I should say a Facebook page, with a person who drew who drew, I guess, his imagined view of how this happened. He drew the inside of a theater with the gunman in the front shooting the patrons, and their heads were exploding. I kid you not. This was a drawing that someone made. Someone else, I think this is kind of somewhat making the rounds on the internet, someone else had a picture of James Holmes, a doctored photograph, with his face superimposed on a soldier's body, receiving an award, like the Medal of Honor or something, from President Obama. This is a Facebook page. A number of Facebook pages openly giving their kudos for this tragedy. So I think, listen, we know these people are trying to protect their assets as far as Warner Brothers, DC. They're scrambling to protect their money. We know that The Dark Knight Rises was on track to make a hell of a lot of money. And it will still make its money, but I think it's probably going to be a 20 to 35% less than what they had predicted, purely based on this tragedy. I think that when it comes down to the bottom line, and listen, when you see someone like Christian Bale visiting the victims, this guy doesn't want to do this. He doesn't want to, but he represents the corporate scheme, or I shouldn't use the word scheme, but the corporate meme. He's got to protect the shareholders, even as the actor. He's no longer an actor because the money that's being made in this thing, when you're talking about a $1 billion franchise, ladies and gentlemen, he's not just an actor. He's a corporate spokesperson who's brought in to calm down the natives. And people want changes. And unfortunately, with this Batman cartoon, Beware the Batman, you know, I have my reservations about this stuff because, you know, the audience knows what I like, what we all like. And this is probably going to be a bastardization for the children, a bastardization of the original intent of Batman. So now they've got to scramble and make these surface-level changes in hopes that, you know, to calm the natives. To calm the natives. I mean, that's all I can really say on this. I think we're going to go to the next topic. But any thoughts in closing on this, Darryl? I know you probably have more to say. I mean, you know, what do you think? I mean, just real quickly, you know, don't you think that they're being put in a certain position because there are more and more nuts coming out. It's more than just James Holmes now. There's more and more people that are making threats. There's one man stood up in the middle of the film because of some kind of aggravation with the audience, saying that, well, I should go and get my guns like James Holmes. People are fighting. They're finding people with guns referencing Batman and some nut in Maryland who calls himself the Joker. I mean, there are people coming out now out of the woodworks that are openly referencing this film. And Batman as a character, as you just aptly stated, Darryl, the character himself is not about gun violence because of the tragedy that he himself had experienced that was his origin. So something is going on where I think they are compelled to do something.
Well, I will say this. Firstly, you brought up Christian Bale. Kudos to him because he did that without the record the movie company, because he was in France shooting a film. He did that outside of his agent. He did that outside of the studio. He went there by himself. The way people found out about that was the first guy he visited, the picture where he's sitting next to the guy in bed, that guy put it on his Facebook, and then everybody, because news media was tracking the victim's Facebooks, you know, and, oh, my God, we got to get down to Christian Bale's here. So give Christian Bale credit, because he did not do that for publicity. He did that on his own. Whether it was to save the movie's ass, whether it was to save face, whatever, the fact is that uplifted a lot of people. So kudos to Christian. Everybody knows I'm not his biggest fan, but you know what? That was a good deed. As far as which you're mentioning right now, that just goes to show that Cap is 100% right. I may rail against the industry, but this is a societal problem. Remember, when they put Manson away, there was a bunch of people that was in support of Manson. Remember, like 10, 15 years ago, there was serial killer collector cards. Where, oh, I got a Jeffrey Dahmer. Do you want this one? Like, seriously, Ted Bundy? You gave these guys collector's cards, all right? You are glorifying these guys. For these people on the Facebook and everything like that, you're glorifying, great. Hey, you're only glorifying them because I call it the black man situation or the black man syndrome, the ignorant black man syndrome, I should say. When everybody knows that African Americans aren't too fond of cops, all right? And you'll go, yeah, that cop finally got his, yeah. But when you get attacked, who's the first person you're looking to? I need a cop. I want a cop. Can I get the, where were the cops to help me out? But aren't you the same guys that have been railing against the cops? Now you want the cops to help you? Similar to these people. Oh, he's such a hero for shooting little kids, families, grandparents. He's a hero. What was heroic about that? All these people that posted this on the Facebook, look in the mirror at yourselves. You guys make me sick.
Well, you know, Daryl, what you said is it's almost an Afro radio rant, actually. But listen, let's go to a quick musical break. When we get back, I see one of our friends from the Netherlands by way of from the States by way of the Netherlands. He's waiting in abeyance. So, Steve, hold on just a moment. We're going to go to a quick, I do mean quick musical break. When we get back, I want to change things around a bit. I do want to talk about the notion of whether or not too many comic book movies are being made. Someone's making the argument that are we making too many comic book movies? So we're going to switch things around a little bit. This is a quick classic, Freedom by Grandmaster Flash. We'll be back in a few moments. Let's groove.
Somebody, if you want to party, say party.
Stopped abruptly, I do not know, folks. It's a rather lengthy record, but I thought it was edited properly. My apologies once again. That was Grandmaster Flash, Freedom. All right, we're doing a quick turnaround. We're talking about, initially we were talking about the tragedy and how it's affecting movie making, films, art. So doing a quick turnaround, I do want to talk about the notion. I believe it was a Newsarama once again. Newsarama, I actually believe, brought up the notion that, in specific to Marvel Comics, that Marvel is changing its model from two movies a year to three movies a year, and that's just Marvel. So I'm just wondering if, you know, if you include Marvel in the mix, and let me bring in our friend from the Netherlands, I believe he's in the States now.
Shazam!
Guys.
Hey, Steve.
Hey.
Welcome
hey,
back.
Steve. All
Welcome
right.
back.
Thanks.
And since you're coming in, I figured I would pose this question to you. This article was talking about, you know, maybe we might be seeing too many movies. I mean, normally it seemed to be about two Marvel movies per year. Now they're saying they're trying to up the ante to about three a year. And then that's if you include other comic book properties, that's a lot of comic book stuff. And, you know, one could say, are you oversaturating a market? Are you, you know, such a thing as too much of a good thing? What do you think?
I think it's kind of like a 50-50. It depends on the type of movie. If it's a superhero movie, and I don't think it's too much. Maybe three or four movies is all right. But when it goes up to like eight or seven, I think that might be too much. And I don't know if you can. You have to categorize this. If it's a superhero movie or if it's a comic movie based on a, I mean, if it's a movie based on a comic that is either a crime drama or a comedy, I don't think it's that too much. But if they're trying to push it up, I think it's because comic book movies and fantasy movies tend to make more money than any other franchise in the movie industry. So that's what I believe.
Daryl, what are your thoughts on that?
I look at it this way. That's written, the article's written by someone who's biased against comic movies. Or the idea is being suggested by that. It's written by someone who's also ignorant. I'll go out right on that limb and say it. Because just as Steve has said just now, all right, you may see the words comic book movie. Comic book movie. Oh no, not another one of these. But that's just it. Within comic books, you got horror, you got comedy, you got drama, you got romance. It isn't one set piece. It would be one thing if every movie that comes out looks exactly like Iron Man, looks exactly like Avengers. But we just had Ghost Rider, which was horror/comedy. Okay, you had Green Lantern, which was supposed to be cosmic space, all of that. All right, you just had Batman, and I said that's a movie, a good to great movie that involves someone dressed like a giant bat facing someone who looks like a giant luchador, you know. But that was more political. You know, when you say comic book movie and you lump it all in together like that, that shows ignorance and bias against the success that they've been having. That's frankly what I think about it. Because, like I said, we got here last week and we talked about where's the place to take Batman now. And we all came to a consensus. We would like to see sort of like a Sherlock Holmes take of it, him using his detective skills. You know, we would all be in there, but that would be different than the Batman that came before. Similarly, right, all comic book movies are not the same. And this is what this writer fails to mention. Road to Perdition, that was a comic book, right? I forget what was the one where the dude was hiding out thank you, Steve. History of Violence. That was a comic book movie. You don't think it was, but that was so slow. That was comic movie. Go like it did involve people dressing up in costumes and fighting crime, but those came from comic books. So when you say comic book movie, when you say superhero movie, when you say that, you got to clarify, all right? Because it was in this set of movies. There are different genres to it, all right, for the uneducated out there. Afro Nerd, yours.
All right. Listen, folks, you're listening to The Comic Shop. We're at the midway point. Feel free to give us a buzz at 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Of course, we have Afro Radio coming up at 7. And we are currently talking about, are there too many comic book movies? And I must, before I give the mic to the captain, I must concur with what Daryl's talking about, that there are so many genres and subgenres within the comic book industry or comic book medium that and also who's to know what is a comic book movie. I mean, to the layperson, for those, when you mention History of Violence, when you mention Road to Perdition, when you mention Red, which I believe they've greenlit for a sequel, many of these movies, even I live in this world of comic books. On occasion, something will come through that I will find out on the back end was a graphic novel from somewhere. So I think that is important to note. Now, but however, Daryl, and I'm going to pose this to the captain and then back to Daryl. Daryl has been one that has been railing against what's going on with these conventions. And maybe some of this is backlash based on what's coming out of these conventions. These conventions have perfected the art of the mashup, of mashing up all these different genres. So when they talk about comic book movies, right, it almost reminds me of how you would hear someone refer to Usher as a rapper. So many people just assume that a black artist is rapping that they don't go into the details to find out, well, wait a minute, Usher's actually a singer. This is, I think, has happened with comic books, that there's so many genres and subgenres being mashed up because of these larger-than-life conventions, where you can think of what is the movie that Kristen Stewart just did? Was it Snow White and the Huntsman, I think? Yeah, you know, that's one type of movie. You have all these different types of fantasy films. When you put in fantasy comic book, it seems like everything, it would come off to the layperson, if you're not going to get into specifics, that everything is a comic book. So whose fault is that? Captain, what are your thoughts about that? Maybe we are victims of our own success.
Well, here's the situation when you're dealing with Hollywood, all right? Here's the reality of the situation. It's very simple, all right? Number one, this is a pop event. That's why I always would say there's only one event that matters. This belongs to pop culture. As long as it's popping, you will continue to see it. It's generating a lot of money. And what Hollywood likes to do, they use formulas. If you look right now, it's either a book or it's a comic book. That's what's coming out that's doing very well. If it's not Harry Potter, it's Hunger Games, or it's going to be something else, or it's a different form of comic book. It's very simple the way they see things there in Hollywood. That's why sometimes you see movies come out and you say to yourself, they greenlit that. Because actually what Hollywood is doing, for most part, they're throwing things up on the wall. Then once they see what works, they start to come with a formula, i.e. the way Avengers was set up. So as long as it continues, meaning which, what does continue mean? Meaning which they're generating big money. You could see this trend for the next 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. But once the money is not being generated anymore, you're not going to see it. We're going to move on to something else. They like their formulas. But now what might happen, because it's starting to get formula-driven, and we know what happens when we get formula-driven, the quality of the movies begin to go down. Then the money will begin to go down. Then they'll start to say, which really is not the case, oh, maybe we're doing too many of these type of movies. No, it's because you went with the formula. You understand? You started making the money dictate the art instead of the art dictating the money. So it's very simple. So at the end of the day, I think we will continue to see a lot more of these movies. Because for right now, the public is craving it, and the movies, for most part, are done very well.
So yeah, you have to. Yeah.
Go ahead, Steve.
You have to. Another reason for another reason for why there will be more superhero movies is technology, because now we have the technology to make movies more beautiful, with more realistic, with CG effects, with all kind of things, and that's the reason why there will be more superhero movies. And if it's done correctly, if it's done perfectly story wise, then we're going to see more of this, and more money will fall into the industry.
I want to go to another transition, but before that, I just want to mention one thing. I think many of us on the panel will probably agree that I don't really have a qualm with there being, quote unquote, too many superhero or comic book related movies. I think my concern is the quality. When you look at something like The Dark Knight Rises, but, you know, let's be honest, was an extremely, extremely well made movie. You know, when you're dealing with an auteur like Chris Nolan, he raises the bar. And if someone raises the bar, if you're going to follow suit, if you're going to get into this whole, as the captain talked about, this whole formulaic meme, which is so Hollywood, so much about the entertainment business, or even just business in general. Business has a lot to do with just ripping off the next guy and, you know, putting out a lesser quality product that's referencing the better quality product. Just copying and copying and copying, and the quality eventually degrades. But with Batman being of such a high quality, and even no one has seen Zack Snyder's film yet, Man of Steel, but even the trailer was so high tech and so smooth and very, it seems to be the type of movie, and you had high top flight talent. You just can't cut around the edges with this stuff. So maybe it really wouldn't matter if they're putting out a lot of product and a lot of content, as long as the quality is there. So that's my wish, that's my hope, is that we will continue to see high quality comic book graphic novel reference work. All right.
And wait, and just to add on to that real quick, and then when you put in that the technology is there now, that fans are doing their own stuff on YouTube and stuff, a Ustream and stuff like that, that look like, you know, not the high budget thing, but they look lovingly at the material like that. You know, the comic book fad is here to stay. I'm just telling that. So everybody who thinks there's too many of these ones, I could say there's too many romantic movies out there. I could say there's too many dumb adventure movies out there. You could say it, that if you don't like it, don't watch. Or better yet, go and create your own stuff. Hey, don't hate the player, hate the game.
All yours. All right. Let's turn things around once again. I want to, you know, since we've referenced Batman, Dark Knight Rises, and I think we might have spoken about this before, but I don't think as in depth. There's another piece that might have been Newsarama, might have been comicbookmovie.com. Both are excellent websites. They were talking about what happens after the Nolanverse has reached its conclusion, which it has, allegedly. Allegedly, if we take Mr. Nolan's word at face value, he said that this is it. He's not going to delve into the Batman universe anymore. He's done with his take of Batman. It's somebody else's turn. Just what would your suggestions be? I'm going to go around the horn. What would your suggestions be as to how we pick up the storyline now? You know, we left it with this latest one. Batman is alive, but he may or may not be retired. There's a character whose first name is really Robin, who might be Nightwing, who might be Robin, who might be the next Batman. We don't know. Or will we just scrap this thing and just go somewhere else? So I want to go to the captain first. Captain, what are your thoughts as to how they pick up this genre? I'm sorry, this movie franchise again? Where do they go?
Well, the first thing, give it a break. Give it a break for a little while. So you figure, let's say, 3-year break. That's the first thing. All right? Let things try to calm down a little bit. And then, you know, since people have not seen it for a while, you know, they have not seen it, and it's set up for it, you know, bring in Robin, because even with this movie, I had people asking me, where's Robin? Where's Robin? Where's Robin? Where's Robin? I grew up with Robin. I grew up with Robin. I said, that's the other Batman. That's not this. He said, yeah, but I would like to see Robin. So there's fans out there that actually would like to see that. And something that we mentioned before on the show, we said the detective aspect, okay? And also, too, another way would be to go, this is just a sidebar, you could do something as far as showing Batman as far as him aging, getting a little bit older, even more so than in this film, because it was supposed to be, you know, he was a bit older also with this. Just food for thought along those lines. But in either case, I think Robin should be part of it, the next thing that they go into, because Batman is not going to disappear. Batman is the DC god. So back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, I was going to put out a couple of things, a couple of thoughts. First of all, one would hope that Hollywood is starting to learn to think outside the box. I mean, we talk about formulas, and it seems like, you know, the formulaic way of thinking is inescapable. But there's also hints that on occasion Hollywood will leave its comfort zone and think differently. Now, what I mean by that is, just as you just talked about, Captain, why not look into the Batman Beyond thing? There's a fan base that's looking at that, where you do see an older Batman, maybe even referencing the Nolanverse, maybe making it part of canon, having an older grizzled. I mean, listen, my perfect Batman for this would be Clint Eastwood, believe it or not. Clint Eastwood as an older Batman, he would be perfect. Perfect. As a matter of fact, have him direct it. The only problem is he has a thing about superhero movies. He has a bug up his behind about it. That's the one thing. Maybe you give enough money, and maybe if you position it differently, where he is the older superhero, he would be perfect. He reminds me of the Bruce Timm Batman of Batman Beyond. He would be perfect for this thing. And then on top of that, as far as thinking outside the box, then also have the current Batman in some other vehicle, because they're going to have to figure out a way to segue into multiple DC heroes. They're definitely looking in that direction. It's unavoidable. This Marvel-DC rivalry has existed since there was Timely National. The days of Timely National in the 30s and 40s still exist today with Marvel and DC, plainly. So I think that would be the best way to go. Have two different takes on Batman in the same world. Currently, that would be a good way to do it, I think. Daryl, what are your thoughts?
Well, if we were going to continue it from here, this came to me before. For the Batman reboot, it's going to have to be the detective thing. But in the meantime, you could have a Nightwing movie with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Nightwing taking on like a Blockbuster or someone like that, with the chaos and the power void. Blockbuster rises up, and Nightwing is left in Gotham to try to stop him. All right, just like the Nightwing book there, but here's the hitch. While that's going on, you have segues in the movie where a certain figure in a suit is going around contacting, a certain guy in green in Star City, a certain person in the Midwest or the Southwest who has a scarab, a certain dude, like contacting other figures around the world with business cards saying, do you want to change the world? Here, keep my number in mind. I'll be in touch. Going around visiting certain heroes and stuff. You're not going to say who this person is, but on each of the cards is a little bat symbol and a little shield on the other end of it, you know, and going around laying the tracks for a bigger movie coming up where, this dude's going around contacting all of these heroes. Like, the regular audience won't know it, but it'll be like little snippets during the movie of this dude contacting other heroes and stuff like that. And that way, the Nightwing movie will probably freaking set up the JLA movie. then you know what? As the captain said, they can't think like that. They can't think like that because we got a formula. We got to stick to a formula. And every time I look at them and they say a formula, I go, look at Batman Incorporated. Go ahead, take a look at that. Pick up the Grant Morrison JRA books. Go, like, right there. That's how you do it. But you know they won't do it. I would love to see, Joseph proved a lot to me in this film. He could carry a Nightwing movie. He could. I mean, he's already played a Dick Grayson character in, I think it was a high school film where his girlfriend gets killed, but he doesn't know by who, and he has to track down who it is. He could do a Nightwing film, but here it is. So do they have the guts to pull it off? And unfortunately, as we know, the answer to that is no. Go ahead, Afro Nerd.
All right, Steve. Any thoughts on what's your opinion of where to go after this third installment of Dark Knight? Where do we go with it?
I agree with you with the Batman Beyond team. I'm in for that. And if they want to make another Batman movie that what they want to tie it to the Justice League movie, they should try at least take some elements from the Nolan movies, make it a more detective movie. Make it semi-realistic and add some elements of the comics. Maybe, you know, something like that. And for the Nolan movies, maybe they should make a comic based on the Nolan universe, which I don't mind reading. So that's my take on it.
Well, from your words or from your mouth to the, I would say God's ears, but to the Hollywood execs' ears, we'll see what happens. But they're going to have to do something. They're going to have to do something. Listen, money is a great motivator. I have a suspicion. I don't think they're going to go into this the Gordon Levitt storyline. I don't think so. You know, I would have wished they would have called her. I would have wished he was Dick Grayson, first of all. I would have wished that his name was Dick Grayson. They had to do it a little weird. With his name, you know?
Yeah, Justin Levitt's character in the movie is kind of like the combination of the three Robins.
Steve's right. If you look at it, it's Jason Todd's origin combined with freaking Tim Drake's tragedy all tied into Dick Grayson's body with the first name Robin, or excuse me, John Blake. Which, that's it. But, hey, you know the deal. Nolan doesn't want to do a Robin. Robin sucks. I don't want anything campy. And then you go and throw a Robin in the film. Hey, Chris Nolan, hypocrite much?
Yeah. All right, listen, let's go to a quick musical break, very quick, about 2 minutes. When we get back, I want to talk about, actually, a versus segment. Comic book movies versus action movies. Comic book versus action. We'll be back in a few moments. Let's groove. This is Craig Mack, another classic. Craig Mack, Get Down, Q-Tip Remix. A few moments.
Now who got the blade that comes with dime a dozen that keeps them buzzing, thinking that they fat when they wasn't. Welcome to the word of Mack, or Mack. You small like things, they eat them shit like Pac-Man. I'm incredible, better eat your best one. Cause I does what I do. I think the roof off a soft sucker, super smacking, macking. What the fact might check 1, 2. I'm a rain forever. Rain like bad weather, rain like forever and ever. You can't fight for style, just my style. Ain't a style that isn't style, so I can go buck wild. Bet you figured you got more funk for flow, it ain't so. Flavor in your ear, let you know. Now I'm about a second from the hook, so strap your rap book. Get your wet style shook. Can I get down, boys? Get on down. Can I get down? Can I get down? Get down, man. Get on down. Can I get down? Can I get down? Here comes the Mac. Get down, boys. Can I get down? Can I get down? Get on down. Can I get down? Match like a super intended. What? Burn them seeds, leaves the fountain. See, I'm like what you call. Y'all, my style's rick, sick, I mean real sick. This thick, I come with the ammo, the real whammo, step to top it, and always quick.
number two. Can I get down? I pound on the ground when I get down. So let me get down. Let me get down.
Yes, folks, that was Get Down, Q-Tip, and Craig Mack. I hated to get out of that groove. Early 90s remix. All right, gentlemen, let's get back into the fold. We've got about 8 minutes or such remaining. Again, this is the Comic Shop. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. I think we should just get into it now. We want to talk about our versus segment. We haven't done one in a while, and I just thought about this. We're kind of thematically on the same thing with these movies. Let's get ready to rumble. Let's just get into it.
Let's get ready to rumble.
All right, for this versus segment, briefly, we're going to talk about a battle of movie genres: superhero comic books versus action movies. Which is better, or is there even a difference? Now, I thought about this because of Sylvester Stallone. He's had his career highs and lows. He's back in the fold with this Expendables franchise. We're going to see Expendables number 2. Actually, I'm somewhat intrigued by it. I hope there's an Expendables 3 just in time for Wesley Snipes to get out of jail. That's my own personal thing. It's something missing, something wrong when he's not in this type of film. And it will be excellent for him to springboard his career when he comes out of prison. Having said that, Stallone has said, you know, listen, Batman has pretty much ruined the action movie genre. The action movie reigned supreme in the 80s. The Die Hard movies, the Schwarzenegger films, the Stallone films, they were the superhero movies for their day. Now we're in a different day. Do you think he's right on that, Daryl, that, you know, Batman kind of ruined the action genre? You have the Bourne movie franchise coming back, but what are your thoughts on that?
To paraphrase Vincent Kennedy McMahon, okay, superhero comic movies didn't ruin action movies. Action movies ruined action movies. What kind of BS is that, Sly? I get caught in Australia for having growth hormone on me, Stallone. Hey, I'll just say it like this. You saw Rambo 1, right? Everybody on the panel saw Rambo 1, right?
Yeah, okay.
Rambo 2 came out. What was so different between Rambo 2 and Rambo 1? Any difference? No? Okay. Then they had that Rambo reboot, come out. Any difference between that and the other Rambos? No. It was the same thing. It gave you the same thing, the same formula. The same formula again. All they did was they changed the opponent. All right? Terminator tried a different slant. Okay? And they changed it up. But if you look at the last couple of Terminator movies, it fell back into the same pattern. Alright? This is why I love superhero movies. Just because, depending on the hero, depending on the villain, you get a different way of approaching it. Case in point, two movies I brought up before. Alright? Ghost Rider, I found enjoyable. Alright? I'm not saying it was a great movie, I just found it enjoyable. Okay? Iron Man. Everybody loved Iron Man. Okay? But here's the difference. They took two different directions with the characters, all right? They took two different freaking, there's my third one for the night. They took different enemies, different Hey, one had sorcery, one was technology. Two different sources of pain, if you're looking at it that way. And the superhero genre, all right, is able to pull off from a diversity of sources. Action movies, however, they don't. They don't. As a matter of fact, action movies are now looking at superhero movies for ideas. And if you don't think I'm right, look at Bourne Legacy. Tell me that isn't Captain America. If you look at the trailer, how they describe the methods, tell me that isn't the Super Serial Soldier Serum.
Yeah, there is a scientific element to, even more so than the one with I can't think of his name. The
Damon.
First actor. Yes, Matt Damon. We got about 3 minutes. Let's try to wrap it up quickly. Captain, what are your thoughts on this battle of the genres?
Well, superhero movies are built in the newer sphere of, you know, humanity. Action heroes actually were not. You know, so after you see a particular actor after a while, you will get tired of it. That's just what it is when it comes to, you know, action heroes. You have to switch it out. Superhero, let's say take Batman, because Batman is the god, all right? You can switch out the Batman and it just keeps going. It's built in your mindset already. It just keeps going. Just like buying another comic book, it keeps going. 150 issues, 160, whatever, it doesn't matter. You might reboot it, but it keeps going. It keeps going. Action heroes do not have that. They don't have that. After they get a little while, they start out when they're 30. By the time they're 45, I don't want to see him running around doing that anymore. So superheroes movies win out at the end of the day. So, you know, as far as one killing the other, I agree with what Daryl says. Action movies, they kill themselves just based on their DNA. Back over to you, Sir Affleck.
Yes, Steve, I want to hear your opinion on this. I want to ask you this. Could one make the argument that comic book movies are action movies? I mean, you have to get in phenomenal shape to pull it off.
Of course.
The play Captain America, for all intents and purposes, it's an action movie. Matter of fact, Joe Johnston, I believe, was the director. He got the gig because he was director of the Raiders of the Lost Ark franchise and Rocketeer. So, I think he was involved with it. I'm sorry, the Raiders of the Lost Ark thing. So, wouldn't one think that, well, maybe the comic book movies are the new version of the action film?
Yeah, because in any superhero movies, you need action in them. And the thing about superhero movies, the actions are more epic than your typical action movies. And the thing with action movies, they tend to be more, there are so many action movies are more generic. They always have the same formula and even the same storyline. It's one guy going after another guy to save somebody. And so I think it's true. Superhero movies tend to be better if you add action to them.
All right, gentlemen, listen, it's been a pleasure. Steve, as always, you're always welcome to stop by. We appreciate it. This has been the Comic Shop. We're about to close. We're going next door to Afternoon Radio at 7. So it's been a pleasure, and we will do this once again, gentlemen. Let's get into it. See you guys next door. Thanks, Darryl B. We appreciate it.
Enjoy.
Spock with a beard?
I think not.
I'm not guilty. You're the one who's guilty. Lawmakers, the politicians, the Colombian drug lords, all you who lobby against making drugs legal, just like you did with alcohol during the Prohibition.
You're the one who's guilty.
I mean, come on, let's kick the ballistics here. Ain't no Uzis made in Harlem. I mean, not one of us in here owns a poppy seed. This thing is bigger than Nino Brown. This is big business. This is the American way.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to enter this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man. What is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funk and lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a lock.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, D-Bird, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Good evening, folks. Back once again. This is Afternoon Radio, Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk, a.k.a. The call-in number is 646-915-9620, again, 646-915-9620. We have a lot to get into. I want to get into this quick funk urban alternative break, a quick one. And then when we will – why can I speak? When we return – pardon me. When we return, we'll get into the discourse. This is Black and White America. Lenny Kravitz. Let's groove. Black and White America, Lenny Kravitz. Folks, welcome to Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk. Let's just get on into it. Captain, once again, you're needed on the bridge. What's up?
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
get into your diatribe. Let's let it rip. Let's go.
Yeah, a couple of things, folks, before we get into the topics at hand because of time constraints. Number one, let me give my heartfelt condolences and sympathies for the parents of a 14-year-old scholar that was found dead in a Bronx park by his father. Truly tragic story. This young man, I believe his first name is Kamar, was found in a park not too far from his residence, and he was described as a brainy kid. He was a brainy kid. Kamar Brooks, that's his name, Kamar Brooks. His father is Cassell Brooks. And he was an avid tennis player. I believe he had some talent, actually. Tennis player, scholar, playing tennis in the park. His father was wondering what was happening to him. I think he went out earlier in the afternoon, as most kids would do. I did it when I was a child. You know, you go out and you'd be out to most of the day until maybe 6 p.m., 7 p.m., it's time to come on home. That time came up. His father was wondering what's going on. He didn't hear anything from his son. At some point, he thought that he'd have to punish his son because he was staying out too late or something. He goes to the park and finds his son with a bullet in his head. Just like he would find, ladies and gentlemen, some animal on the side somewhere. We're finding dead boys. We're finding dead boys like we would find a raccoon or some pet. And, you know, right now they're investigating this thing. We don't know what happened. It might have been some kind of shootout that he was in the vicinity of. You know, when I always talk about collateral damage and shrapnel. This is literal. This is real stuff, folks. Literal collateral damage, literal shrapnel. This young man taken down. One problem that I do have is that in the Daily News as well as the Post, when they have a picture of this young man, now, again, he's being described as a scholar. He's being described as an avid tennis player. He's got a lot of the trappings of someone who's in a cut from a different mold than the lower-tier ilk that we talk about all the time. And let me repeat, folks, when I talk about lower-tier, I'm not talking about someone's financial status. I'm talking about, because you could have someone who's of a different or minimal financial status but still have upper-tier mentality. It's a mentality. So that's very little to do with – you could be someone – we know wealthy people who have lower-tier mentality. So let's really get simple and plain about this. But with this young man, they have photographs of him doing some kind of gang sign. So now people don't know what to think. They have his dossier. They have the rundown that sounds excellent. Sounds like a young man on a certain trajectory. But then they have a picture of the young man with his face kind of cocked to the side with what looks to be some kind of gang sign. That is not proper. And I told the captain about this. We've got to work on ways, ladies and gentlemen, to impart to our youth to stop worshiping this ghetto rap aesthetic. Stop worshiping it. Because when something goes down and it becomes necessary to figure out what your character is or was, hopefully it is, but in this case it was, it confuses people. When I saw the commenters below the article about this tragedy, many of these folks were saying, well, what kind of scholar could this guy be if we see a photograph of him with the gang sign? I've heard, and they're referencing Trayvon Martin. I heard people call Trayvon Tampon Martin. I kid you not. This guy is no different than Tampon Martin. So now, you know, we're not being taken seriously, folks. Our deaths, our young people, we're not being taken seriously. I'm ringing the alarm. The tired, old, broken MP3 player, MP3 file, I'm ringing the alarm because I'm making you aware that this is what they think about you. And I'm inclined to think that we're creating evidence. We're creating evidence. Now, I believe that this young man was a scholar. that he was an avid tennis player, that his father was involved in his life. I believe all that. But it does can cause confusion that when they're able to find your Facebook, find your Twitter remarks, find your photographs, when you're worshiping some kind of ghetto aesthetic, some kind of I'm bad, but you know, you're not being truthful. When I always say, let's keep it correct, let's keep it honest, let's keep it 100%. If you're going to be the Afro nerd, then be the Afro nerd. When I worked out this afternoon, I wore a Black Lightning t-shirt. I kid you not. Black Lightning t-shirt. I wear the mantle of the Afro nerd. I've come to that conclusion. I'm not faking the funk. Why is it that you have folks that are Afro nerds, they are Afro nerds, but they still feel compelled to wear the ghetto aesthetic? Because when the smoke clears, no one can tell the difference. That's all I'm saying. That's it, Cap. That's it. Time constraints. Any thoughts on that?
Well said. Well said. All right. Let's move along.
All right. Getting into the topic at hand, I'm going to bounce around a bit, Captain. I want to talk about the Jackson clan, the Jackson family. I'm pretty sure that our listenership is aware that they are in a quagmire. They're stuck in quicksand right now. First, we're hearing that Janet Jackson snapped and became physical with one of Michael Jackson's children, Paris Jackson. She was getting ready to tweet something. You know, we talk about tweet with Twitter, folks. She was getting ready to tweet something. Her aunt comes in, tries to say, hey, cut out the nonsense. Allegedly, this young lady used the F-bomb against her aunt. And first of all, we shouldn't even really be privy to this conversation. We'll talk about that in a moment as well, why we are privy to personal conversations in this world. These people can't take a bowel movement, Captain, without someone taking a picture of it. I kid you not. It's getting to that point. There's no such thing as privacy for anyone, especially for the celebrity elite. But there's a number of issues that are attached to this Jackson thing that we must talk about. One, the invasion of privacy. Two, the loss of black wealth. Let me repeat that, the loss of black wealth. Speaking to the Oracle, for those who've been longtime listeners, the Oracle is my father, a.k.a. the tangential producer of the show. We talk about this a lot, and he's seen it, being that he's mature. He's seen this meme for many years, Captain, where you have black talent who might have been lucky enough to amass a fortune, and then when they die, there's nothing left to impart to their progenies. There's nothing left to live. There's nothing left of an estate to give to their families. Or if there is money, or a projected income, that income ends up in the hands of management and of lawyers. And I'm seeing this with the Jackson estate. With the Presley estate, Captain, we could talk about who was the Svengali behind Presley. I think Captain Tom, I forgot his name, I'll look up in a moment, but he's a well-known Svengali of Elvis Presley. And there's talk about Elvis being, you know, Elvis was a lower-tier country white boy, keeping it 100. He was lower tier. And there might have been shenanigans with his money. Tom Parker. Thanks, Sergio. I think Colonel Tom Parker, I believe, is what he went by. Even beyond that, even with the shenanigans with the Presley estate, the Presley family are able to eat and live quite well off of Presley's art. I believe that Graceland is the second most visited residence in the United States after the White House. There's no reason, Captain, there's no reason why Neverland Ranch cannot be in that same paragon. There's no reason. I would say clearly, as the Afro Nerd, I would definitely make it my business to visit that ranch. If it were open to the public, oh yes, I would be first in line to check out that ranch. I wouldn't mind checking out Graceland, but for I guess more personal reasons, more cultural reasons, I would want to see Neverland Ranch first, definitely. And we're hearing that the will might not have been correct. We're also hearing that 40%, as it stands, 40% went to Katherine Jackson, 40% goes to the children, 20% goes to charity. But now they're saying that might have to be scrapped. We know that the Brown estate, as in James Brown, the James Brown estate, that's in turmoil, that family probably will not get any of that money. And James Brown will be around for centuries. We will see James Brown. We will continue to see James Brown commodified and corporatized for time immemorial. We will see this. And it seems like maybe outside of the Hendricks estate, I believe the Hendricks estate went to Jimi Hendrix's father, and now his father has died a few years ago. I believe the Hendricks family, they're getting money from the Hendricks estate. That's probably one of the few black estates where the money has – and also Tupac. Tupac's mother, I believe, is getting paid appropriately. But the meme, consistently for black talent, the lawyers get the money. Captain, what are your thoughts?
Well, there's two important things when it comes to black and brown. That's not – this meme they're not getting. They're not getting the information that's supposed to come through with these two memes. It's knowledge of self and do for self. Very important for black and brown. It's actually very important for everybody, but even more so important for black and brown. You also see what's happening with the Jacksons. You see it also with professional athletes who make a lot of money, and sometimes there is money put away and they did not handle it correctly. The first thing, when you start making all this money, I can understand you have very humble beginnings. You're not used to money. You mess up money. That's okay, but you're still making money. Secure the money. And you know, if you have kids also and other family members, secure the money in a manner that it can keep going. And when you have like $100 million, $200 million, $300 million, $50 million, that type of money put away, there's a lot that you can do to make money keep on coming if you handle the business correctly. I also know, I run into some people in my travels that have had business that might be worth $3-4 million, or should I say family business, and their parent is on their deathbed. And it come to find out, their dad has the business, everything underneath their name, but he did not handle the paperwork. Why didn't you do a will? Why didn't you handle the business with the lawyers? Oh, that day I did not go down there. I didn't think it was necessary. What, did you think that you were going to be there forever? And then someone else comes along and ends up taking the money. Real life situation. I've experienced this with people that I know. And then the kids are left doing, you know, menial tasks and things they were not used to doing at all, based on these type of decisions. So when it comes to black and brown, you have to learn somewhere along the line to take care of the money. Because you can be a person, or should I say your family can be in a situation, because you will probably have passed, and be in a situation where they're literally on the street. They will rob you that blind. My money now. Thanks, very nice. You're not here. You didn't handle the paperwork. You didn't go to the lawyers that day. You didn't sit down with the right people. Thank you very much. There you go. This is something that happens a lot with the black and brown. Very bad situation. Very bad situation. Back over to you, Sir Afro.
Yeah, you know, we're going to go to a quick musical break, folks, but I just want to mention something else as an anecdote or a caveat to this as well. The Malcolm X estate is also in peril. I'm hearing from the New York Post, this was reported a few days ago, that for a few shekels, Captain, we're hearing that there's a number of storage units with some of the archives, personal archives of Betty and Malcolm X, Betty Shabazz, Malcolm X, that are in peril for a couple of grand. You know, we're talking about small money that the family members have not been paying attention to, or they're not aware of these things. But you know, there's threats that they might start to auction off some of this stuff. And although Malcolm was not a wealthy person, his intellectual property is worth a whole lot of money. We're talking about a major historical figure. If you talk about someone like George Washington or Abraham Lincoln or John Hancock, you know, those are white historical figures. Malcolm X stands in that same realm of someone who you will hear for time immemorial. And we're hearing now in a Manhattan storage unit, I believe somewhere in Inwood, roughly $2,500 has amassed in overdue bills. And I think someone has intervened. I'm hearing Londell McMillan, incidentally, I even met Mr. McMillan a few years ago, noted attorney. I believe he's Prince's, the artist, you know, of course, my favorite artist, Prince's attorney. He has intervened in some way. So I think he's working to get these things straightened out. But it should never come to the point where you're seeing major museum-worthy archival pieces being put in jeopardy. And this is by the family. And this is something we see, folks. I know people think that I'm always defecating on black folk. I am a black person, so it's not about defecating on black folks. But it is talking about shoring up some of the sloppiness, Captain. Can we do that? Can we at least shore up our sloppiness so we don't lose out? Folks, we are consistently behind the eight ball. We are consistently losing. And when I bring it up, there's a problem. We cannot have it. Hey, I don't want to take a dump on the family. I don't want to. But it cannot be allowed that you have your father's or your grandfather's life work, his personal archives. He's more than your grandfather. He's more than your father. He belongs to the world, and you are losing out for sloppiness. The Jacksons are losing out for sloppiness. The Browns are losing out for what? Sloppiness. All right. That's enough. Hopefully this stuff will straighten itself out, Captain. All right. Going to a quick musical break. This is Shortberry Straw Cake. Shortberry Straw Cake by the beauteous and legendary Sheila E. We'll be back in a few moments. Let's groove. right. Enough of that. That was Shortberry Straw Cake. Shortberry Straw Cake by Sheila E. Getting back into the fold, folks, you're listening to the Afternoon Radio Show. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Don't be scared. Feel free to give us a buzz. We're going to do a quick transition, but I do want to dovetail on something that you probably wouldn't think I would talk about. I will talk about anything and everything that's not necessarily color-coded, if you know what I mean. I'm against color-coded discussion all the time because I'm an African-American, a person of color. I must speak about only African-American color, issues of color. Kristen Stewart. How'd I come out? My voice, Captain. Kristen Stewart.
Who cares?
Well, I shouldn't care. Yep. I shouldn't care, but I mentioned that I was, when advertising for the show, that there's somewhat of a relation between Kristen Stewart and the Jacksons debacle, with the family being seen, by cameras mixing it up. I mean, it goes to show you that the Jacksons, despite their wealth or projected wealth, that they're no different than anybody else. There are many families that when someone dies, all hell breaks loose, to be honest with you. The part that I have a problem with is, why do we know? Why do we have to know? This altercation between Paris and Janet, that happens all the time. And the fact that we have a paparazzi, the media are so, that they have that flashlight near the rectum of these people, Captain. I'm sorry to be so vulgar, but that's the way it is. I got to be that blunt. Why are you looking so closely at these people? And then with Kristen Stewart, who I'm no fan of her work. I'm not a Twilight guy. I'm a True Blood Blade kind of guy. I'm not a Twilight kind of guy. When we speak about that, shouting out Daryl B. from the show next door, from the earlier show. We're not Twilight fans. But I find it crazy. This woman is 21, 22 years of age. She leaves the gym. She goes to meet the director of her last work. And they get into some shenanigans. Folks, that's business in Hollywood, believe it or not. She's trying for... Hey, Captain, holler if you hear me. That's her way of negotiating. She's negotiating for her next gig. This has been happening for eons. An actress will set up something with a director. That's the man in power. That's the man that can get me my next gig, my next multi-million-dollar contract. Not that I approve. But why are you looking so closely? The minute this woman sneaks off in a corner somewhere to handle adult business, you have a camera, some telescopic camera, to look at this. Why do we need to know? And now she is being shamed and chastised for a moment that really was supposed to be private. Now, I can feel for Robert, what's his name, Pattinson, or the character, her paramour from the Twilight films, if we're to believe that the relationship is for real anyway. Because we know Hollywood, for decades, has set up these relationships because it makes them money. So we don't even know if they really are dating. But let's assume that they were dating, and now they have since broken up. He had to move out the house, whatever. I find it amazing that we have people following other folks in their private moments to have this gotcha thing. No one's condemning the media for getting involved with this kind of stuff. This is the way people who are celebrities or who are not even celebrities, Captain, whatever your station of life may be, they're screwing around. Not that I approve. I don't condone this. But this is what's going on privately. Behind closed quarters, we're not supposed to know what goes on. We're not supposed to know. So why is she being held to a different standard than everyone else? What are your thoughts on that, Captain, before we move along?
Well, actually, this is a controversy that turned into a controversy, and the reason why we're talking about it is because you have major news publications putting this on their first page of what they're selling to the public. So now we have to turn around, we have to talk about, we have to address the controversy that has become a controversy, because the media now is the think tank. They're telling you that this is important in your life. In actuality, we really should not care. Just as the great Afronoid said, this is just something that happens, big deal, keep it moving, especially when you're also that young. Ray. It should not be put on the papers. Should not be blasted all over the internet, because actuality, no one cares. They have to try to make you care. So they're actually pushing us. They're pushing a button, say, I want you to talk about this. I want you to do this. I want this to be in your conversation. That's what they're doing. Media is the think tank. And this is very bad on the media part. This is very bad. And we're part of the bad, too, because we also address it, because the bigger media outlets are addressing it. So in turn, we have to address it. So we all get caught up in the foolish controversy that has become a controversy. It's an ongoing cycle that lowers us, that just lowers us, that lowers us, that lowers us, that devolves us when we should be evolving. Back over to you, Sir Afronoid.
Yes, devolution is a very important word. I'm glad you brought that up. And I'm going to our friend Q Stormy saying, this is starting to sound very naive. Have you seen the magazines and TV shows? Listen, I'm fully aware, Q, of the financial fiduciary element that's driving this. We know that these men make, you know, big bucks for catching these celebrities in compromising positions. I'm looking at it from a different perspective. I'm not really talking about what she did. I'm talking about the culture that seems to be comfortable in invading private moments. That seems to be okay. We're so much on what she did, and we're not talking about how did you find this out. It's the how that you find this. It's the how that you did you find this out that becomes problematic for me. And it seems to devolve our culture. It's affecting everything that we do. It makes it, we can talk about this, but on a larger scale, it makes it easy for your teenage daughter, your teenage son, to expose himself on Twitter and on Facebook. It's the culture we're living in. I am constantly astounded how people are so comfortable, Captain, in revealing themselves to the world. We show our private moments very comfortably all the time, and then when you get a backlash on that, then listen, it's a big issue, because we know that the gay young man from a few years ago who killed himself at Rutgers because his roommate spied on him, he didn't think that what he did was wrong. It dovetails into larger issues. You're going to see people coming out of this on the bad end of it, is what I'm saying. There's no way you can continue with this kind of karma and expect it not to come back to you. So I'm looking at it from a larger perspective. So it's not about being naive, Q. I hear what you're saying, but it's a little bit deeper. You know what we do and how we do at Afronerd. It's never surface level with us. All right. Transition time. I think we should talk. I think we should actually talk about this Mississippi couple, Captain.
Whoa.
Couple of African descent, male and female. See, normally, when we talk about marriage now, we talk about same gender issues. Now, we're going back to, 1940, Captain. We're going back to about 1940. There's a Mississippi couple, African American, who attended, I suspect, or I think it's being widely reported, a mixed church, or if not a predominantly white church. They were parishioners, they were congregants, they were members of this church. So, at some point, as many men and women, especially in this day and age, Captain, where we want black men to marry their women, they, like anyone else, wanted to get married in their church. The church higher-ups, the church hierarchy, are preventing them from getting married. They don't want to marry these people because they're black. They don't want to marry these people because they are black. Wow. I don't know what to say about this. Normally I would have a clip on this, Captain, but I think it's pretty cut and dry. I'm going to read something quickly from the Courier Mail, and it says couriermail.com. It says Pastor Stan Weatherford told ABC Television on Saturday that there had never been a wedding for blacks at the First Baptist Church in Crystal Springs, Mississippi, since it opened in 1883. Wow. He said some of the white congregations so virulently opposed the wedding of Charles and Teandria Wilson, who are black, that they threatened to have him fired. Mr. Weatherford, a pastor who was white, offered to wed the Wilsons down the road at a mostly black church, he told the network. My 9-year-old was going to the church with us. How would you say to your 9-year-old daughter, we cannot get married here because, guess what, sweetie, we're black, Charles Wilson told ABC's affiliate WAPT. Captain, you know, listen, I guess there are pockets in the South where this, you know, they didn't receive word that, you know, segregation is over. I don't know what to say on this. I mean, this is, you know, it seems crazy that they were members of the church. I mean, what are your thoughts on this in 2012?
All right. Now, this reminds me, this is what this reminds me of. There used to be a music seminar years ago called How Can I Be Down? How Can I Be Down? It was mainly for rap artists, but you had other genres of music that would attend. And it would teach you things about the music industry, how you can get going and everything else. What facets that you wanted to go into in the music business, whether you wanted to be an artist, a producer, you know, an engineer, and what have you. When you hear things like this, it sounds like black people are going to white people and saying, how can I be down? That's at first. Now let's look at it further. Now, from what I understand, this is a Christian church, so I'll lay off other religions for right now. Okay, I won't get involved with other religious fanatics. We'll leave that for a different show. Okay? Now, according to that book, according to the book, what they call Bible, God is not supposed to be interested in color, according to these people that attend the church. So what color, what is your color supposed to matter when God is supposed to be a spirit, supposed to be a spiritual entity? What does color have to do anything with you know, who wants to get married in the church and who doesn't want to get married to in the church? That sounds like a problem amongst men. That has nothing to do with God, you understand, according to the book, if that's what you're about. But it sounds like you're full of fecal matter. You're not about church. You're not about G-O-D, God. It sounds like you're full of fecal matter. You have problems amongst men. So you're making the church in a whole look very bad at this given point. They'll tell you and say, you know, God does not judge. You know, I mean, you know, let me correct that. God is the supreme judge. We're not supposed to judge. Let me correct myself. God is the supreme judge. We're not supposed to judge. So what are you doing there? You are judging, all right? And we all know that we do judge. So obviously these white people in this church did not like these black people. They had a problem with black people. They felt the black people were beneath them. They need to go worship their God somewhere else. You understand? That's a problem there. That's a problem with the church, the individuals in the church, and also with those two black people wanting to get down. How can I be down, this is what I said before, with these people, these particular people? Get your own thing going. You don't have to be down with these individuals. Stop begging people who do not like you to be down. That's it. Get your own thing doing. There's enough of us here. Get your own thing going. You don't have to beg anybody to be down who does not like you. So I have a problem with that. That's how I have a problem with the whole situation, the whole issue. Back over to you, Sir Appleman.
Yeah, you know what, Captain? I'm going to play this quick clip. I've used it as an intro for our show a few times. It's from the great, late great comedian George Carlin. And actually, he rails on about religion. You know, the issue here is race, but it's also about religion. And I've said this before. If you call yourself an Afro nerd and you talk about logic and reason, I have a problem with religion anyway. But I would not tell someone that they can't worship whoever or whatever they want to worship. I have no problems with a person who wants to do that. Let me say that from the beginning. I do not have an issue with someone who wants to worship, but I do take issue with this, and I'm thinking of Romney. You know, Romney was called an etch-a-sketch. He likened him to an etch-a-sketch, so he can mold or whatever. Religion is an etch-a-sketch. People treat religion like an etch-a-sketch. Whatever they are comfortable with or not comfortable with, personally, outside of Scripture, they will mold it to their liking anyway. You have gay churches, Captain. If the gay folks are not going to be accepted in a conventional church, then it's create a church where gayness is acceptable, which means it's a whole bunch of crock involved. It's a whole bunch of malarkey and hokum. It is. I would want to see more agnostics of color, more atheists of color, and more cogent thinking religious people. More people who are able to think logically, that are able to apply Scripture to what is going on today. That's what I would want to personally see. I want to see people who are able to think logically in today's world. But this old-world mentality, and I would get rid of these cultural churches, Captain, where we have a black church and a white church. I understand this, it's a reality, but as far as logic, Captain, I'm going by logic. Why do we have these churches separated by color to begin with? The church is the place where you're supposed to be so far removed from this worldly thinking. This church right here it's a joke. You're going to tell people, you're going to talk about hatred, and we're getting back into trying to prove our humanity, because whiteness is the ultimate in humanity. So this is what you're getting into now: white supremacy, humanity, what is human, going back into three-fifths human. So now we're going back to this once again, Captain, where we have to try to prove our humanity, because we don't allegedly, in quotes, measure up to the white view of humanity, just based on some pigment. A little bit of pigment scares you. The pigment scares you. So now I have to go to another church because you're scared of my coloration. We have to stop this. These people need to be put on blast. I'm weary of it. It's tired. It's primitive. All right. Calling on religion. Hold on.
Think about it. Religion has actually convinced people that there's an invisible man living in the sky who watches everything you do every minute of every day. And the invisible man has a special list of 10 things he does not want you to do. And if you do any of these 10 things, he has a special place full of fire and smoke and burning and torture and anguish, where he will send you to live and suffer and burn and choke and scream and cry forever and ever till the end of time. But he loves you. He loves you. He loves you, and he needs money. He always needs money. He's all-powerful, all-perfect, all-knowing, and all-wise. Somehow, just can't handle money.
That's why the Carlins and the Pryors were truly comedic geniuses. They're able to say things and wax on about certain topics in a plain manner. And I can imagine that this church, again, the First Baptist Church in Crystal Springs, Mississippi. I can imagine that after this incident, the pastor is going to go before his congregants and talk about God loves you, Jesus loves you, all this love, 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 and the congregants that happen to be a few shades darker than the other congregants, you're not going to marry them. But Jesus loves you. Let's love your fellow man. Church needs to be burned down to the ground. I mean, I listen, I have my issue with religion in general, but I'm never going to tell someone how they're going to worship or what they should worship. But when it gets into disrespecting humanity, when you are taught in the Scriptures to be more humane, to think outside, to think beyond worldly thoughts. This is bringing us back to the worldly, Captain. So it really negates Scripture. I mean, it's not even the white churches. I mean, I've seen black churches. There's a church, I even played Christmas, Pastor Manning in Harlem, who really was saying some disparaging things about President Obama. Just going on about his parentage, and he pimps white women. I mean, all this foolish stuff. I mean, just completely incorrect disinformation and misinformation, Captain, bluntly and blatantly. But he has followers. When will we learn? Why do we continue doing this stuff? Man in the sky, usually a white man coming down telling you, you know, you did poorly, or watch yourself. Come on. We got to stop this. I think we give more respect to this to Kris Kringle than we do to God. We worship money and Kris Kringle more than we worship God anyway. I don't know. Captain, any remarks on this? I think we should take another musical break, and we'll go to yet another topic.
Yes, let's go to a musical break, sir. Let's go to a musical break.
All right. Wow. So much music, so little time. All right, let's go back to a classic hip-hop joint. This is Nothing But Love. Nothing But Love. Heavy D and the Boys. The late Heavy D. We'll be back in a few moments.
I got nothing but love for you, baby. I got nothing but love for you, honey. I got nothing but love for you, baby.
What you got?
I got nothing but love for you, honey.
Yeah,
I got nothing but love for you, baby.
Uh-huh.
I got nothing but love for you, honey.
Yeah,
I got nothing but love for you, baby.
What you got?
I got nothing but love for you, honey.
Yeah, what
I got nothing but love for you, baby.
Uh-huh.
I got nothing but love for you, honey.
Yeah,
I know you want lots of dudes and stuff. Backyards with swimming pools, bars with dudes and stuff. Fancy food. Lobster, sushi, yeah, Versace, Gucci, crazy Lucci. I know your ammo, you do demo on a paycheck. You get a herd from the bourbon, show them no respect. Middle name, price tag, first name, gotcha. Start a smoke, got on a roll, now they can't stop ya. Talking about, hey boo, how you do? Some clown of town said you ran through with some crew. I give you props and your credit cause it's due. But I ain't that clown and my crew ain't that crew. Times too hard to be faking like I'm dating on some staking. Whining and dining, I ain't tricking on no chicken. Leave it up to me, I close the whole damn store. I got nothing but love for you.
I got nothing but love for you, baby.
What you got? I got nothing but love for you, honey.
Yeah,
I got nothing but love for you, baby.
Uh-huh.
I got nothing but love for you, honey.
Yeah,
I got nothing but love for you, baby.
What you got?
I got nothing but love for you, honey.
Yeah,
I got nothing but love for you, baby.
Uh-huh.
I got nothing but love for you, honey.
Yeah,
I'm not your H-E-R-B, but I'm your H-E-A-B. Why, Daddy, don't test me. Don't ask me for nothing. For Nathan, for Jeff, for Doodly Squad. You can do me not. You plan on fighting on who be hot and trying to hit. I know you're low pro style, you're low ho profile. Kick a brother in the gut and then you smile. I must admit, I really dig your operation. Every time we on the phone, you got the sexy conversation. So now you hope to be the woman of my dream. And while I'm sleeping, you be creeping, robbing me clean. I see you hanging on the corners with the rest of your girl crew. Standing by the gutter with your booty cutters. So who's the honey dip? Down with the bunny grip. Always got a plan and a scam to get some money quick. Always getting with the next man. The one with the checks and setting up the trap with the set. I got nothing but love.
Don't know about that, this is a jumper, yeah. Don't know about that, this is a jumper, yeah. Don't know about that, this is a jumper, yeah. Don't know about that, this is a jumper, yeah.
once again, we are always consistently losing our greats. That was the late great Heavy D, Dwight Myers from Mount Vernon, Nothing But Love. All right, folks, we've got about 7 minutes remaining. I do want to touch on this issue that was actually bandied about behind the scenes in our email conversations with some of our crew, some of our friends of the show, about Governor Romney's political ad. Governor Romney has an ad out now that appears to be targeting African-American voters. And in the ad, it's alleged to have been doctored in the sense of omitting boos, omitting jeers. I believe it might have been some footage from his recent appearance at the NAACP, with the NAACP a few weeks ago. So there's some doctoring going on. And I didn't really feel offended by it, first of all, because I understand that, and we talked about this before, Captain, that this is the nature of the political beast. Whether it's on Obama's side or on Romney's side or from time immemorial for the overusage of a term, we've seen the political landscape do this. Obama's doing it. Romney's doing it. They're doctoring, they're editing, they're tailoring these ads to convey a certain thought process. They're trying to elicit your votes. They're going to pander. They're going to pander. Obama panders. And I support Obama. But he panders. That's what politicians do. So my only problem is I take issue with that there seems to be a strain. And I saw this maybe a few months ago where there was a little bit of a hoopla, Captain, with a young man of color who erected a Facebook entitled Blacks for Romney or Black Americans for Romney. And there was such a backlash toward him because they were saying, well, why are you doing that for? It's that tribal thinking. Even though, listen, I'm a conservative, but I am supporting Barack Obama. So, listen, I'm thinking outside of my box. There's no reason why you can't think outside of the box. There has to be a point where we might have to suggest having playing both sides of the fence, Captain, that if Barack Obama, and I want to see him get a second term, but what happens if he does not get a second term? Captain, take over on this. I don't want to keep on hogging the mic, but what are your thoughts on this?
Well, the first thing that I must say and I must do, I must take a stab at the bankers. One must understand that the bankers have controlled both sides, the Republican and the Democratic Party, for the last 100 years. So by some miracle, if Romney does get into the Oval Office, it doesn't matter. The outcome will be the same because he will have to do what that bankers make you do. If you want change in America, you have to get rid of the bankers. Congress has to print their money. Now, that being said, the modus operandi for having these ads doctored is what these people do. It's what they do on both sides. Obama's trying to win, so his ads will be doctored. Romney is trying to win, so his ads will be doctored. That's what these particular individuals do at the end of the day. It's a game, and in my opinion, it's misdirection anyway. You understand? Because at the end of the day, I just feel that Obama is going to win this. This is all just a game that we're playing at the end of the day to get the same result where the American people keep getting poorer and poorer and poorer. But let's just say through some miracle that Romney does win, it will be the same result because of what I said earlier. The bankers control both sides. So if you get in there and you become the president, you have to do as the bankers say. Now, that also being said, whether you're black, brown, purple, or green. Are there any green people? Stand up. Shout, let me hear you. But you are allowed to vote for whoever you want to vote for. It's that simple. You don't have to vote for Obama because you're black. You don't have to vote for Romney because you're white. You can do whatever you want to do. You're supposed to be voting based on their political policies at the end of the day. That's what you're supposed to be doing. So, my friends, that being said, vote for whoever you see fit. Obama will be the president come, at the end of the year. Back over to you, sir.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on this. I think that the powers that be are pleased with Barack Obama, President Barack Obama. And there's listen, I've had my criticisms of KRS-One. We're trying to get him on the show. I've had my criticisms of him, but as of late, doing a cursory review of some of his statements on YouTube, they're quite prescient. Going back to 2009, when President Obama took office, and he's going on and on about the moneyed elite and how and whoever gets in office is going to do what they want to be done. I don't think it matters, but I think, if anything, surface level, black folks need to be a little bit more strategic and sophisticated and not so emotional about those who may want to step out the box and support Romney. We can't throw this traitorous perception against those who might want to think differently, because if it does not work out in our way, we need to have a backup plan, folks. We need to have a backup plan. Folks, it's been an absolute pleasure. We'll do this again on Wednesday, as always. Shouting out Sergio and Q-Storm. Appreciate the support. Let's get into a quick jammy jam as we leave. This is Hide and Seek. Hide and Seek by the Divine Secret. See you all on Wednesday. It's been a pleasure.